BMBM, welcome to Badcast Scotland. And just first, a quick introduction. We do Badcast every week. The purpose of Badcast is to bring together a lot of people. In the first, was initially started with Bad Kids community, but now overall Interchain community, and allow them to share their ideas, views, talk about different concepts. And this this Badcast has grown significantly. We have done 4 sessions so far, and the Badcast so far has been just about very open-ended general ideas. But now, starting today, trying to do it more focused with one speaker, trying to know their thoughts on how things went on. And I couldn't think of a better way to start this new style of Badcast than having the creator of Bad Kids himself. So today we're gonna talk about his journey, how he came about, what was the most interesting things that are happening around Bad Kids community. And so here we have Kotan. Do you wanna like come on stage? First, give an introduction about yourself. How have you been? How you are seeing the current scenario about around Bad Kids, and then we can go into questions.
Yeah. Okay. Well, BM, thanks for having me here. It's exciting to finally be on Badcast. I've only been a listener so far. I can talk about sort of. Where do you want me to start? Just kind of like introduce myself?
Yes.
Okay. Well, yeah, my name is Joe. Most people know me as Cortland though. I'm the creator of Bad Kids, which is, 2 years old now. The mint started, I think it was 2 years ago on Monday, maybe. So if we were to go back in time 2 years, I think it would actually be close to the end of the mint. I think it lasted just about 4 days. It's been a pretty crazy 2 years. I really couldn't have imagined that things would go the direction they have gone. So it's been very exciting and very life-changing, honestly.
I feel it's been life-changing for a lot of people as well. For a few, it could be where like they bought items for maybe $40 and like it went on to $4,000. So, but for like a lot of people like me, it's been a great cultural identity and a way that's been a great way to connect with a lot of folks. And it's really changed their life. Like today, I can go out on Twitter and like see other Bad Kids and interact with them. It's just been so easy. It's funny you mentioned about the mint. I actually missed out Bad Kids mint. A lot of people were talking about it initially, but then Josh is the one who like got me excited about it again. And he said, "You got to have a Bad Kid. It's gonna be the face of Cosmos." And this is like 2 years ago. He wasn't wrong about that. Today it is. And so that brings an interesting question: is that what was the inspiration behind Bad Kids? Like, it's like simplest way to start this.
Sure. Well, should I give you like the long version of the story?
Yeah. I think the long version would be better. Most people might not know that. So yeah, let's go with the long version.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Well, so I've been, you know, like self-employed as a designer for a long time, probably, over a decade at this point. And like kind of one of the nice things about that is, you know, I think I work best in kind of like, you know, big pushes at one given time, and then, you know, like some rest time in between. And, you know, like the jobs aren't like constant. So like one of the nice things was like I had downtime to experiment and do other weird, you know, art projects and stuff. And in the past I've done like short films and animations, and like during 2020, like during the COVID lockdown, sort of all my clients sort of disappeared, all my work sort of dried up. So to keep myself busy, I was doing this thing that happens every year called 36 Days of Type, where people will do, each day they'll do like a letter of the alphabet. So everyone, you know, kind of, and then they share them on Instagram. So you have like a lot of designers, a lot of other creative types, you know, just doing a letter a day. It's like a nice kind of simple assignment. And I was working through those. I guess to kind of make it even more work for myself, I was like animating each one. And I had a few friends who were like, oh, you should be making NFTs of these. And I just kind of like brushed that off then, because I wasn't really paying attention to NFT stuff that much back then. Yeah. And then I think over time, you know, that was like 2020. I think I did again in 2021 and 2022. But yeah, after, I don't know, I think I started looking at NFTs as like an interesting design challenge. You know, just the idea of like, how do you make 10,000 of something, but keep it interesting. And, you know, I think, just like looking at what was out there, I wasn't really seeing anything that I was like, you know, at least of the really big projects, you know, like Bored Apes. Like I didn't see myself as an ape. It felt like a kind of joke that had like a limited sort of timeline to it. And so, you know, and that, and just, I don't know, there's this weird kind of almost like forced coolness to it. Like it was like, you know, kind of suggesting like, oh yeah, you know, you're part of like a cool club if you buy into this. And I don't know, that felt off to me. So I wanted to make something that was like, that felt like something that I would want, you know, if I was going shopping for an NFT to represent myself. And you know, like punks, you know, crypto punks, I thought they were cool because, you know, I think one of the nice things about pixel art is it's kind of expressive in a way, in that like you can see a lot of different people within it, you know, because it's so simplistic that it's not, you know, it's not too specific about, you know, who you're looking at. So I kind of wanted to, you know, I think kind of capture some of that energy too. And I, you know, one day just had this idea like, oh, children's art, like that, it's so expressive and it's so simplistic. Like, you know, a drawing can look like a lot of different people. And also just like I thought it was funny that, you know, everyone was like looking at NFTs as these like valuable works of art, or at least, you know, that's kind of what they were telling themselves. And so the idea of putting out an NFT that was like the most, the least valuable kind of art, you know, something that a child would draw. I liked that idea a lot. And, you know, definitely people have, like, I think trying to make something expressive, you know, I think that aspect of Bad Kids worked, because like over time I've seen, like when FTX blew up, you know, someone found like SBF and Caroline, you know, in Bad Kids, and we're like sharing that. And it was really funny how much of a perfect match, you know, these two Bad Kids were for them. So it's, yeah, I guess that's like a long winded way of explaining how I got to Bad Kids, I guess. But yeah, and then, yeah, launched 2 years ago, really. You know, for me, it was like I was really happy with it. I liked the way it came together. I was proud of it, but it also wasn't something like I wasn't trying to like take over Stargaze or Cosmos in any way. You know, I made something that, like, I think one thing I also like, kind of just looking at other NFTs, you know, I'd see kind of like this almost cult like mentality where if someone said something bad about that NFT project, people would just like freak out, and people would also get like really upset if people were like selling or whatever. And also like that, I don't know, to me that's a really unhealthy way of looking at things. And, you know, like I think it's normal for people, like, you're not going to make something that everyone likes. Like, trying to make something that everyone likes is just, it's going to lead you to like really kind of like bland, watered down corporate art. So like, you know, from the beginning, I was like, yeah, this is, if you don't like this, that's okay. It's like, this isn't for everyone. And, you know, I wasn't promising any big plans in the future. Like, it seemed like the roadmaps were where a lot of other NFTs had like ran into issues. You know, people would overpromise and then like end up under delivering. And to me, it felt much safer to just say, you know, no, this, buy this because you like the art. That's really all you're getting. And I can't promise anything beyond that. I think like as a result of that, like the people that kind of found their way to Bad Kids, like, we're a certain type of person that was not too hung up on, you know, sort of like a number go up mentality, like when it came to NFTs, didn't really care about, you know, some sort of utility that was going to be coming down the road or some metaverse integration or something. And so I think as a result, like the people that kind of ended up with Bad Kids were people that were, you know, generally like a pretty laid back, easygoing group of people. And a lot of those people also happen to be like, you know, sort of really well-regarded Cosmos devs back, you know, back there at the start. So yeah, I was really lucky in that, like, sort of the community that formed around Bad Kids organically, you know, happened to be pretty laid back, pretty easygoing, pretty friendly, and also, you know, didn't take anything too seriously. So it was a fun group to hang out with.
Absolutely. I feel so many of these things are so true for so many people, like old Bad Kids in general. Is like, for example, you talked about pixel art. I think so a lot of people resonate pixel art with their early internet days or computer days, when, like, especially the gaming, you had those pixelated characters and you were like, you know, pressing those buttons and then you were playing in. It was so fun. Like, for example, the Mario's interface early on was like all pixelated, and like you resonate with that art. You look at it and it brings so much memories back from your childhood. And I feel like it's very similar for a lot of people who have got a Bad Kid. For example, my Bad Kid looks so much like me. It's funny, I've never heard about it, but it's just like, if I compare my childhood picture with my Bad Kid, it would be like 90% match. And this is an art that nobody is nobody knew like I would get this art. And I feel like a lot of Bad Kids who hold their Bad Kid, it's a very true thing for them. They look at this art and it's just so resonating. It's such a great thing. And I think so the other thing which you mentioned about is that experimentation is also very nice. Like a lot of, like, I think so people who really have built great art, NFTs or their collections, if not say particularly art, but like the collections and how their community have grown, they didn't come with like a specific desire to make money. They came at like, okay, hey, I want to like do this experiment, see how the community builds around it. And then, so I figured that those communities really, really grew. Those are like very good points that you mentioned. That being said, like, you touched upon like how people, like especially the early Cosmos builders, got into the collection and they started putting it as their PFPs, which brought in more people. And like it's almost like we covered this in the second episode, I guess. It was which talked around like builder culture fit, which is very true for BadKids. It's very similar for other collections such as Mad Lads as well, where there's so many builders or so many developers or so many like founders in a certain ecosystem owning a specific NFT, and becomes the great index for that NFT itself, like for that ecosystem itself. So it's very true. What do you think about, and just like before we jump on to the next question, but what do you think about as BadKids as an index for Cosmos itself today?
Oh yeah, well it definitely captured a lot of sort of the important people in Cosmos over time, and I think it kind of created this effect where people would see other developers, engineers, creators within Cosmos that they respected would have like a BadKid as their profile picture. And then they would start to feel like, oh, I should probably get one of these too. Like, I don't want to feel like I'm not, like I don't belong here or something. I think one of the nice things is obviously this like changes over time, especially now that there's like a lot more, airdrops and stuff like that. But in the past, there wasn't really a lot of shilling. People weren't trying to sell other people on BadKids. Obviously there were people like Josh Lee who loved it and was like I think he was like giving a bunch away early on to people that he felt like should have it. A lot of cases it would be these developers that people go follow them on Twitter because they were saying interesting stuff because they want to read their content. And these are people that had BadKids, and eventually, if you're following a bunch of developers in Cosmos and they all have BadKids, at a certain point you might be like, maybe I should pick up one of these too. So I think it was kind of a nice subtle thing like that, where it was more like a mark of quality in a weird way. It kind of worked out like that.
That's true. I don't even know how many people I have sold BadKids to, and this is way before the airdrops, and all of them got. And so, kind of like, it's a funny way. It's that I went to my cousin's place, and so they were small, very small, like 4 or 5 years old, and I had this as my WhatsApp picture. So everyone has it on Twitter as well, but for a long time I also had it on my WhatsApp DP. And they're like, "Hey, who drew this picture for you?" I was like, this is a collection. It was hard to explain to a 4 or 5 year old. And it was like, oh, yeah. Like if we draw, will you put that as your WhatsApp DP? And I was like, yeah, why not? And they drew it. And like for like few days, I had their art as well on my WhatsApp. So it just is the simplicity of it is like so nice. And I think so, yeah, that's been a beautiful way of like how different people have different sort of fond memories with BadKids, and like how they are selling BadKids to other people, just like out of how much they love it. I think so there's true passion and pride in owning a BadKid today. That being said, since we're talking about how like you've seen the community grow, what's been your most found memory with like the way you've seen community grow in last 2 years, something that has like really touched you with respect to BadKids community? Any instance that you would like to cover?
Oh man, there's like so many. It's like hard to pick any particular moment. For me, even like right after the mint, there was like a couple people, within the first week that were using it as their profile picture, which, it felt unbelievable to me, like seeing something I made that, people I didn't know were using as their profile picture. So just that was, and obviously it's there's a lot more people using it as their profile picture now. But I guess like last year, like one of the really, one of the really nice memories for me was going to Paris for OsmoCon which was like sort of a last minute thing. You know, like I'd been talking to Shane at Stargaze because he had mentioned that he was going there to give a talk. And I'm like, do you think any of these places would ever want to have me give a talk? Like I'd never even really considered the idea of doing that. And he's like, oh, well, let me put you in touch. And then like, you know, a day later, they're like, okay, yeah, come on over. We don't care what you talk about. We just want to have you give a talk. So that was it was a lot of fun. I mean, going to Paris, like I hadn't been there in a long, long time. I hadn't traveled outside the country in a couple of years, I think, at that point. So it was fun. I got to meet a ton of people, like Josh Lee, for instance, a ton of people that I knew but had never actually met in person. And we had like a bad kids party at this bar cafe place in Paris, and a lot of people came out for it. And it was it was a really good time. So that was, you know, just kind of seeing so many people brought together by bad kids in one place was really it was really wonderful. It was really great to see that. And then like, you know, we did a similar thing at in Istanbul for Cosmoverse, and that was a lot of fun. So it's just, you know, getting to get together with like, you know, the community in person is always great, because it's also like, I think my own sort of instinct when it comes to parties is, because a lot of these conferences you go to, there will be these like big fancy flashy parties with like DJs and loud music and stuff, which is great. You know, I'm sure some people like that. Like that's never really been my favorite party. The bad kids parties have always been like a lot more low key, you know, in like a backyard, or, you know, a private room that's like part of a cafe or something. And they're always like a lot more chill. And I think that reflects the community. You know, it's like a lot of, you know, like a lot of easygoing people. Everyone has their own stuff going on, you know, like but, you know, we all have this like one kind of common thing. I don't know. It's good. It's like a nice little, it's a nice little escape from like the kind of normal crypto events, you know, at those crypto events.
Absolutely. I still remember, I was, that particular day I was sick, so I was trying not to get very close to people. But I remember that Istanbul Stargaze party, you were, you know, sitting in the corner and drawing everyone's bad kid on your notebook. And I saw you were like doing that across the entire Cosmoverse. And just that itself is such a good reflection of like how the holders get more closer to the creator. Just like there's no fluff, there's no froth, and just that simplicity at least touched me a lot. That was the first time I saw, oh, Joe is here. He's the creator behind Bad Kids. But just the simplicity of like, by that time, I was already holding Bad Kids for more than a year. And first time I'm seeing creator, and then creators like drawing for other people. It's just like, I think so that changed things a lot for people as well. Like after that, a lot of more people got into Bad Kids. True. Like I feel that's been a culture. We have hosted like, 3 bad kids meetup now, like BM Bangalore, BM Mumbai, and like in a smaller one, BM again for friends. It's just been like, yeah, it's been the only thing that we have focused on is like getting people together. And there's been hours and hours of just discussing ideas and sharing what they feel about culture. And there was like, honestly, there was nothing other than like a pizza and like a couple of beers and a few cold drinks. That's it. And nobody needed anything. Just needed to be there. And they're so connected with the community and just like go at it and like share ideas. So that's been very, very, I think, so inculcated within the whole community. And the other thing, like you mentioned, like for a lot of people, like these meetups, for me also, like the first time it was Bad Kids was like Josh throwing this party in Cosmoverse Medellin, and he was saying, okay, hey, we want to get like few people together, and he came to me as like, do you hold a Bad Kids? I was like, oh, I have to get it. He's like, no, you got to get it today. I'm hosting this party. I was like, oh, I get it. And just got busy. But then he hosted it. And there were like, I think so, 10 people. And like, I meeting all those 10 people and looking at those pictures. And Josh came back later and he's like, oh, this was so much fun. Like, there was like no expectation. It was amazing. So yeah, I think so. That's been like with every Bad Kids meetup. That being said, like, how do you like see like we talked about this as like how different people have taken up the onus and like they demonstrate it and like more people have come to it. How, as a creator now, is like what keeps you motivated? Like, the collection is minted, most people have it, there's like it's not a collection that has a lot of reserve, which is releasing. The supply, everything is done, but we're still here. I see you in community every day. You answer every question, you answer every DM for that matter. What keeps you motivated as a creator?
I mean, to me, that the community stuff is fun. You know, it's like it's really interesting seeing, you know, kind of the weird like influence I mean, it's been a really positive influence, and also just like seeing things like there's so many derivatives now, you know, of varying qualities, some better than others, but I never would have imagined that I would have kind of created something that had that kind of mimetic quality where people were like, oh yeah, I'm going to take this idea and, you know, put my own sort of spin on it. So it's just, and it, you know, Bad Kids has grown like in identity, you know, in a big enough way that now, you know, there's always every day there's something new or someone's doing something interesting with it or someone's interacting with the community in some way. So it's just been cool to see that stuff. And I think it's also, you know, I think it's important that I stick around because I think that the kind of culture and the community that was established early on, I think, you know, that only stays alive if you work at it, you know? So it's, you know, kind of keeping that identity, kind of keeping the spirit going is important. And, you know, like sometimes you have to sort of try your best to keep people in line. It's not always easy, but but also kind of like highlight, you know, when people are doing really cool stuff or just, you know, when someone's like being a really, great member of the community in some way, just, you know, kind of spotlighting that. So yeah, it's a lot of that. And, you know, it's like sometimes I get to like draw a unicorn or something for like a post on Twitter. That's fun. I'm trying to do more drawings now just because, you know, it started as an art project. I think kind of keeping that art coming, even if it is just pictures on Twitter, because that, you know, I don't want to do anything that's going to dilute the collection. But, you know, like, I think it's fun for people to like see, you know, see kind of like new content in that way.
When you say, you know, your drawing mode, did you drop an alpha there? Because there's been a lot of speculation last year. It was BitKids at first anniversary and recently is second anniversary. Is there something that's coming for the year two? It's okay if you don't want to answer it, but just excited.
Well, there's definitely nothing like BitKids coming. I'll say that. And it's funny actually, just to talk about BitKids for a second, because that started a long time before it was actually released. And you know, like you talked about, like kind of the sort of retro appeal of like pixel art. I mean, I'm totally with you on that. And it's funny because like I wanted Bad Kids to be something really different and original. And you know, after, you know, a year of it coming out, there were definitely people were kind of taking the idea and doing their own things with it. So I kind of felt like, okay, if I'm going to do an official derivative, instead of doing bad something and doing something in the sort of style I established, I'm going to go totally the opposite direction and do like the thing that everyone already did and sort of tackle pixel art. So like I worked with my brother who's a pixel artist who's been doing that stuff for years and years, and put that together. And you know, it was really fun building that out, but it was also funny because I remember right before that, like maybe like a week before that launched, I remember reading somewhere, I think on Twitter, someone was like, yeah, Cortland's done a really good job with Bad Kids. Like he hasn't like screwed it up by like releasing a derivative collection or anything like that. And I was like, well, too late to change anything now. But thankfully, I don't think people saw it as diluting the collection. I mean, I think maybe part of that is because there is this sort of, synergy between the bad kid and the big kid, where I think a lot of people want to keep them together, even though they are, they're kind of different enough that they both stand on their own. I think maybe a lot of people were hesitant to sell the bit kid, which is fine. You know, it's they should do whatever they want with it. But to get back to the question you were asking, there's some stuff that's happening behind the scenes, but there's not going to be another NFT drop, as an anniversary gift. So I don't want anyone to get mad at me if they're expecting like another BitKids style collection. But I do have some stuff coming that I think will be fun for the community. But it's also, I'm pretty bad with deadlines. I would have liked to have some stuff, ready for the anniversary to show off. But I don't. But I promise. There's stuff coming. I'm always working on something or other.
Awesome. You got me there when you said there's something coming. So I'm already very excited, super curious. But I won't push you more on that. What it is, I would like it to be a surprise for everyone as well. There's so many things, so many different aspects we covered up. And it was great for you to bring BitKids. Like, I've never touched my BitKid. It's just there. And I want to sell it. I want to hold it. It just as a, I feel like an add-on. But I know so many people who couldn't get into Bad Kids. They got BitKids. So it just makes the community a little bigger. And that's great. Everyone should have an entry point. And so that way, like, BitKids have been a great derivative to get everyone involved. On that aspect, like, how do you feel about like Bad Kids transcend beyond your imagination, if that has already happened, or it just says there's more to your imagination? And like, how do you see like this community that has gone beyond like the initial creator thought and has like now upspringing on the all fronts? Like, how do you think about it, and how do you feel about it?
Well, it's definitely kind of changed the way I relate to the project a little bit, because now like there's like airdrops, and airdrops are like I was always very anti-utility with Bad Kids, but airdrops, that's utility, but I can't argue with that. Like that's like the best kind of like sort of validation of being sort of like a top tier asset in Cosmos is, if you're receiving airdrops. So the fact that this is starting to happen now and starting to happen very frequently means, I have to sort of be a little bit more on top of just like making sure the community is aware of that stuff and sharing that information. And also just kind of doing my best to like sort of vet projects and make sure, there aren't people that are sort of trying to scam Bad Kids or sort of like, take advantage of the community in some way. So far it's all been really, good projects. And in fact, so I think Filament Finance, the project you're on, had looked to interact with Bad Kids. And I remember like you came in to the Discord to personally answer people's questions. And I remember after that, you know, people had like a lot of good questions. Like people, I think people were really grateful that, you know, someone from the project came to them. And then I remember when you guys opened up like slots for the testnet, something like that. But I remember like the Bad Kids slots went really, really quickly. So, you know, just the fact that there's like now this sort of like positive correlation between like these like new projects that are opening up and the Bad Kids community, you know, that's not really something I could have envisioned before. And, you know, so now it's just, you know, making sure that those connections are strong and, you know, communication about stuff is good. So that's been a whole big thing that I didn't expect.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, there's so much just as happening, like you mentioned, like at Filament. When we were thinking about, okay, what's the best way to find the best folks that we want to have on our platform day one, and what's the best index to do? So we're just brainstorming around so many ideas. And what we realized is like, you look at Bad Kids, you look at Pudgy Penguins, CryptoPunks, Mad Lads, and like you go through their owners list and you will find so many people have never moved their asset. So just as more than speculation, it's been more of like an asset that people want to hold. And those are all the people who are also heavily engaged in those ecosystems. Look at like CryptoPunks, I think. So most of those are owned by the Ethereum OGs and the contributors to Ethereum ecosystem as a whole. And same is with Mad Lads, and similar is with Bad Kids. And we thought, okay, there's no better way to get the high quality individuals on our platform. Those are going to be not just like short-term value. You can like have multiple NFT collections on our platform, and like there's so many people who are just speculating. But the ability to have like a community that comes on your platform, not just to farm something, but also to contribute, say, on so many things, narratives, on feedback, on saying how you can improve, is a great way. And that was a cool concept where we came about trading guilds. And choosing Bad Kids was like the easiest decision to make. One, of course, being so long-term holder, I've seen the community grow. I relate to it so much. But like similar is case for everyone. Both Pratyaksh and I have like held Bad Kids for 2 years now. Most of our team members hold a Bad Kids. So it's been a great index for our team as well. But the thing is like, when we think about Bad Kids, it's like, how do we make it more like long-term? And like, how do we make them first-class citizens? So our goal was not to just like simply drop it to people and then they come and claim it. We wanted to have more one-on-one touch base and say, okay, how do we keep increasing that engagement? So rather than saying, okay, there's like more than just like, okay, there's an airdrop, an increase in time. It's like, okay, how do we create more value for you? And I feel like a lot of projects feel the similar way, and they're working on more ideas to say, okay, have Bad Kids more involved in the overall like this project structure that they're building. And that's beautiful. Yeah, like for us also was a very new thing to sort of have like which we call now first class citizens on the like on your like on-chain platform or a dApp, which is what is the biggest difference comes down to a decentralized application or a centralized exchange. Is like on chain, you can embed yourself into a culture, and then you can have those people who are first class citizens who are determining your success or like determining your early growth. So yeah, that's been very, very unique for us at these. And yeah, like you mentioned, on that matter, what do you think about like you mentioned about you didn't want to have like a utility or anti it like. Don't you think there's an urge always like, okay, I've done this. Now, how do I do like, how do I grow this? How can I add a utility to it? Like, can more things happen? So like, if you don't want to do it, how do you control that urge to not do it? Is like something I would really love to learn about. And yeah.
Well, I guess, I mean, for me, it's like I sort of wanted to keep some sort of, I guess you'd say, like hooks open in the project that, you know, could be used for a utility. Like I, like one of the things is all the kids have these numeric values in them. You know, they have muscles, brains, and badness and age. And, you know, that was like a thing. It kind of got added a little bit like later in the project. Like I wasn't sure if I'd be able to get like an engineer to help with that, because that was like a thing that was like a little bit beyond my own expertise. But those numbers are like, they're not random. They're all like balanced by a formula, you know? So the age, basically, if you like multiply that by 10, then that'll perfectly break down along the three other stats. And that was just like, you know, like I played Magic the Gathering when I was in high school. I was like terrible at it, but I loved trading cards and, you know, just like being able to like look at a card and be like, oh, this monster is like strength 10. Like that's crazy. That's like really, really, really powerful. You know, like if I was any good at this game, that might be useful to me, but you know, it's good to know when I'm holding it or trading it or whatever. But you know, like I liked having these like sort of elements within it that, you know, like if someone wanted to build a game on top of Bad Kids, like there's some stuff there to support it. You know, I would never promise that, because I, you know, games are hard to build and also just like hard to maintain and, you know, keep them fun. But, you know, and yeah, I guess like another thing is just, you know, I think Bad Kids, and this is true for like a lot of other good collections, you know, I think they kind of reward exploration a little bit. You know, I think if you kind of like poke around the collection and get a sense for the different things that are contained within it, like it's fun to explore. And, you know, even as new people come in, you know, it's like that, they still have that, you know, kind of discovery to enjoy. So it's, to me, it's like that's a big part of what makes it fun. And, you know, it's the utility now is, I guess, the airdrops and the community. But there's always, yeah, I don't know. There's always small ways that it could be expanded upon that don't require me making any like sort of promises ahead of time. I guess that's the big thing, is that, you know, just like keeping it off of some sort of roadmap.
Yeah. There's a saying somebody told me, and I've like just always kept it with me, is that the most counterintuitive idea about NFTs is that you should never limit them by utility. The day you do that, you have defined how much this NFT could scale or grow, or what the value of it can be. So the way you mentioned about hooks, I honestly did not know about that. So it's the first time I'm learning about it. And it really is like so interesting. I can already think of like so many ideas that we thought about as well. And just like that just makes it so much more interesting, like for anyone to create so many different things. And just like, it's not probably just games, but like communities that can be built around it. Like the parties that you're throwing could like based or built around it. There's so many other utilities. So yeah, I think that for other people to do that with the already established community of Bad Kids would be a very, very good way. But like you said, like I think so that sometimes the promising makes it hard to sustain the kind of the momentum. And now that there's already natural momentum with so many different projects airdropping and good quality projects airdropping, so that's like a good sign, and more projects will follow that based on the success that they have received. On that note, I think so. I didn't realize we have been running for 45 minutes, and this just like went by in a swish. Like on on some like closing thoughts, what do you think about like where do Bad Kids go from here in terms of like just the community, the vibes, and like anything that you might have like, you know, planned coming up? There are Cosmos coming up, a lot of other things are coming up, or in general, like and maybe if you want to give an advice to other communities coming in, like Stargaze, because if I'm not wrong, Bad Kids was one of the first one on Launchpad, right? The Stargaze Launchpad. Yes. So how do you think like Bad Kids community being sort of like almost like a supporting element for new projects coming up, or just like in general, if you have any like ideas for other people coming to Stargaze?
Well, I'll answer the second part first. I totally recommend anyone, you know, that's thinking about launching an NFT. Stargaze is a great place to do it. It's like a tight-knit community. You can go on the Stargaze Discord, and you know, if you need help, there's a lot of helpful people there. The team at Stargaze has been really helpful for me, like when it comes to like launching these things, because I don't trust myself to do a lot of this stuff involving contracts. So it's nice to like have someone who's like, you know, an engineer who's a little bit more confident. Just like letting me know that if I click the button, it's not going to like, you know, like ruin everything. So yeah, Stargaze is a great place to launch. And I think it all depends on what you're trying to do with your project. Like, I'd love to see more artists kind of trying, because, you know, like I would say like Bad Kids, like I approached it like an art project, you know, and I think the nice thing about that is if you don't have these like grand schemes about what your thing is going to turn into, I think it takes a bit of pressure off in terms of trying to deliver on something that, you know, might end up constraining what you're willing to do with it. I guess in other words, like I would say, like, don't like make something that you won't look back on and feel like you regretted wasting time on it if it's not a huge success. Like be okay with failure, like embrace failure. It's not that bad, and you always like learn from these things. And if you make something that you loved, even if it is, you know, a failure financially, you still have this thing that you can point to that, you know, can go in your portfolio, that you can show off and that you can be proud of. You know, I don't know. Just because it wasn't a success doesn't mean it wasn't worth doing. And I mean, you know, one of the great things about Stargaze is, you know, like in the traditional art world, there's a lot of gatekeepers that don't exist, you know, on a decentralized platform. So you can try things that are a little weird and, you know, a little bit esoteric, and you know, see if there's an audience for that stuff. Like you will get your work in front of a global audience really quickly. And so that's, you know, that can be really useful.
Awesome. Those are very good points. Something that like our creative person in the team also does is like, he's doing like this art project that is bringing on, it's just like being for fun, which we call Supernaturals, which was just like, okay, how do we create an identity for like who we are? And that project started that. It's just an art project. Do for me, like me to put on my like GIFs that I'm putting out there, but it just has turned out really well. And I think it just, the only thing was that the idea behind it was just truly art and saying, okay, what do you like, how do you express yourself? And then that expression sometimes just is so important, because then it's very organic. You don't really think about like what other people want, like which you said at the start of the session as well. You just like, you can't build something that everyone will like. You're just putting it, your expression out there. And if like most people start relating to it, it becomes a great success. And so that's very interesting point. On that, like, any closing thoughts that you have about like Bad Kids, you know, like coming on BatCast today, BatKids community, anything that you would like to share here?
Oh man, that's big. I don't know if I have any like big meaningful thoughts right now. It's been a pretty crazy ride. It's been a crazy year so far. anyone that wants to talk more, it's pretty easy to find me on Discord. I'm looking forward to seeing where the rest of the year takes us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Joe, for coming on today. And it was a pleasure talking to you. Always try to do these things so that I can learn more, and with that community starts to learn more. There's a new pattern of like having one guest talk about. There's more structure to something like this. I plan to like do more of these, like have more people. So probably like there's so many interesting people in the BatKids community itself. Like trying to bring one by one, each one of them. One of the like individuals that I feel has done a great job is Sasha. Just like with BatKids and in general, and similarly, there are more people in the community. So, thank you so much for being my first guest and coming out, sharing your ideas. Always a pleasure talking to you. Always a pleasure connecting. And I will always like catch up with you in Discord. Thank you so much for today, and thank you so much everyone for listening in live. The goal is to produce these as more like an archive that more people can listen into, more people can like use this as a kind of like a timestamp of like how the progression has happened. So here we are like celebrating 2 years of BatKids and to many, many more wonderful and very, very bad years ahead. So with that, please keep coming in. Please give your feedback. Keep sharing more ideas about BatKids if you have something. So here's a Pitage signing it out. Thank you so much. Bye bye. Take care.
Thanks, bye.
Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ends dragging out the max amount of payments. Red down days, got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these tokenomics. They probing this bear, flexing broken honest. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting otters. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known the politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom. Over impossible loss, it's all moss. And I'm liking the odds, fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Flick the cap, though the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary falls. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of DNA stacked in non-toxic just to get a better place, smacking on the hostage like the shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines. They call it implausible when model after model keeps on ripping off the coat and going full throttle. Beats tearing apart your community. All these low hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10, stargazing after the siege. Commanding all the management to grab a few seats, and then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats, and if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Channel Spaces.